Wow, it's bright up here. You're glowing. You look like an angel right now. My name is Connie. I am a missionary to our hip-hop community in Calgary. I know, right? Look at me. How gangster am I right now? But I can throw it. I can throw it down. Just letting you know. But tonight, I have a word for you. I've been praying. I felt God say, oh, look at, okay, table, right? Coming right up. Table for one. Here I am. Thanks. I've been praying ever since Amber Lee reached out to me about this. Actually, it was Michael, and he gave me no details. It was awesome. It's like, okay, let's, Holy Spirit, what time should I show up? I'm just kidding. That's actually how I roll. Definitely wind blow. Here we are. But I've been praying for you specifically ever since I got invited, because one of the things I could care less about is being eloquent, as Amber Lee has explained. I also apparently care less about my footwear. I had these beautiful shoes to wear tonight to make my dress look a little nicer, and God said, no, not tonight. I want you to wear these shoes because I want you to tell these women that as beautiful as you are and as cute as you are not cute. You are powerful. You are a warrior. You are mighty. David was so close to God, right? It was called, David sought after God's own heart, but David was also a heart of war. He shed more blood than any king in Israel because he took back ground that Israel deserved, that Israel was called to. There was a promise that they were called to, and because, not because he was a great king, not because he looked great, but because he was a heart of, he had a heart of a worshiper inside of him, he was able to actually go and defeat places where most people couldn't, where Saul couldn't, where people who just kind of like did the right thing, said the right thing. God is done with a church that just says the right thing, does the right thing, looks a certain way. He's done with those days. And he's saying a new person, a new people are arising. People who are after my own heart. People who are after my glory. People who are not just trying to like put on a good program and a good Sunday worship service, but people who will seek my face. Because this particular nation right now and where we are in history, it's about to shift. You just watch. God is moving in our nation. God's moving in Medicine Hat. God's moving in Calgary, where I live. And he's bringing up kingdom entrepreneurs. We call them present-day apostles. He's bringing you up as kingdom entrepreneurs to rise up and worship him first and foremost. If his glory does not go with us, then I'm not even interested. Let's not. Right? And so I really felt that for you. I felt to call out the warrior princess, to call out the queens who war in the spirit, to call out those who are dangerous for his kingdom. That's who you are. So you can be cute, but just remember that you're also a pretty good warrior. And that boy and girl of yours, let me tell you, she's a warrior. When she moves around, she's a tornado for the kingdom. Okay, you know, she really is. Like, I was watching her. I'm like, wow, there's a little, wow, dynamite right there, right? Yeah, she is a firecracker. So this is my journal, and I got to the end of my journal this week. And so you know when you get to the end of your journal and it does, oh, look at it, it's staying right now. That's nice. But you know, usually it, like, flips, and you have to, like, you can't, like, keep it open. So I wrote a bunch of stuff for you. There's, like, 8 pages, but I'm only going to cover, like, 3. Just kidding. I'm just scaring all of you. Are you okay? You still there? Awesome. I joke a lot, so please laugh. It makes me feel better. Okay. So I want to talk to you about something that God put on my heart for you about hope. Hope does not disappoint us, it says in Romans. Hope does not disappoint us. But it says that at the very end of this horrible little passage that talks about suffering. And it talks about how suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces all sorts of horrible things in us. I'm just kidding. That's not what it says. But has anyone ever suffered in here? Yeah, hello. That's why you're a warrior. That's why, because you're an overcomer. Yeah. Hope does not disappoint us. This morning I wrote that we cannot contain hope. We cannot control hope. We cannot limit hope. We cannot try to box hope in and make it look a certain way. We have no control over hope. It is limitless. It is vast. It is expansive. It cannot be controlled. And God has given many of you, in fact, I would just reckon to say all of you, specific things, specific promises in your life. And sometimes he gives us the promise, and then he takes us through this crazy journey. Have you heard of the saying, the kingdom now, but not yet? Have you heard that saying before? I call it the kingdom now. It's really annoying, because I like things done like snappity-snap, right now. But God oftentimes will take us through a huge desert in order to get to our promise. Hannah, interesting thing what was said about Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:1, actually, the very first chapter of 1 Samuel. Hannah is barren, but it also says that Hannah had a double portion. Hannah was barren, but she also had a double portion. How can you have both at the same time? It's a mystery. And let me tell you something about mystery. Mystery is a perfect cross because God gives us revelation. He gives us revelation of what he calls us to. He gives us revelation of who we are in him. If you don't know who you are in him, please catch up. Catch up, because those days are done. Can I just do this really quick? Can I just say really quick that if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you're still groveling around in the ground wondering, oh my goodness, poor me, I don't think God's going to use me. You need to get over yourself really fast, because the kingdom is moving. And in this particular time in history, God is looking for people who kind of got this covered. Okay? Because he's moving. And he's moving right now very quickly in identity. Identity is moving on. So can I put this here to say, can we just like, yes, you are beloved. You are wonderful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a saying in my life. I'm not exactly very impressive. I'm very short. I'm not very well spoken sometimes. I stutter. I forget things. I have ADHD. I'm very artistic. And God has just told me he's chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And here I am. I just got over myself really fast, you know. Plus, I'm over 40, and that helps a lot. Now all of a sudden I really don't care. I should care more about this though. Anywho, but yes, you are beloved. You are his. You are called. I remember a time in my life when I was so far away from God. I had a promise. I've had a promise for many, many years. I gave my life to Jesus in grade 10, and I followed him with all of my heart, and I had prophecies over my life, and I had things that I knew God was going to do with me, and then he took me underground, and he took me through this horrible experience of just brokenness after brokenness after brokenness, and I remember feeling like God must not like me. I remember when my father passed away from cancer just so suddenly, and at the same time I got fired from my church. Yeah, who invited this girl? I got fired from my church because back in those days it wasn't really a good thing to be a woman leader. I also got fired from my church because I'm an evangelist and I couldn't stay inside the building. So I was never at work. So I got fired. I should say let go very nicely. I also had a lot of words spoken against me that were not good words. They were horrible words. They ripped me to shreds. I think Jezebel was in there somewhere, because that's back in the 90s when that word was being thrown everywhere. Any woman. Yes. Yes. And now I know there was more of that. But in that time, I thought that was just like I was the only one. I was the only female leader that ever got like slammed down, and it was horrible. And I actually went through it 2 years. I couldn't say anything to God, but I am so sorry. I'm such a disappointment. I just ran the other way. And he called me back to his heart slowly. It was a very slow process. For 1 year, I asked God. I'm not going to go into details of how he brought me back. But for 1 year, I said, God, fine. Give me a desire for you. I'll pray that for 1 year. But after that, if you haven't done that, I'm done. So I did every single day. I would just kind of start and go, okay, God, give me a desire for you. On with the day, right? My first son was being born at the time. It's a very hard time for me. I moved from Vancouver with the ocean to Calgary. It's awful. Now I'm thankful. But I mean, if you've lived by the ocean, I'm sorry. Like, that's just, you know, it's like living in Ontario and like having a lake. I don't know. I really like water. And so I had a business. I had a hip hop business, and it was growing and it was thriving. And then God just said, nope, slam. Everything I had built, literally fell in a day, and it was horrible. And then I was breastfeeding and watching Home and Garden Channel, and I just didn't know what life was about anymore. It just wasn't a good thing. And so every day, God, give me a desire for you. Give me a desire for you. 6 months. Okay, God, give me a desire for you. 1 year, I swear, 1 year later, I was like, that's it. Go, boom, here we go. I was in. And God called me out and he said, you know what? All of that brokenness, I'm calling you forth as my beloved. And he renamed me. He renamed me Courageous. And I am. I am not afraid of some things. I'm just kidding. I am very courageous. It's who I am. It's who he is. And I got a little piece of Father in me. And you have got a little piece of Father in you. We all represent a different piece of God. And he is courageous. He is compassionate. He is all kinds of things. And he's placed those things on us. And if we don't have the guts to believe those things, then guess what? You're just always going to be standing still. So it's time to rise up. If you haven't ever heard Isaiah 61, I want you to go home and I want you to soak in Isaiah 61 that he has good news for you, that he has bound up your broken heart. This is past tense. Some of you maybe need to hear this right now, so I'm just going to take a moment. He binds up your broken heart. He sets captives free. He releases prisoners who deserve to be punished because there's no condemnation if you're in Christ. He also rebuilds what has been ruined for years. Back there, ladies, I want you to take this home. He rebuilds what is stolen. He rebuilds what has been devastated for years and generations over your homes. He restores and he rebuilds them. And he renames you. He takes your ashes and he gives you beauty. And I'll tell you something, if you're having a hard time with hearing that and you're like, oh, I don't know if I can really get that, can you please do something for Jesus and get home and this week just rest on that. Really get it into your spirit, not into your head, but get it into your spirit. Because I'm telling you, God is unleashing things in this season where that has to be foundational. And he's also releasing things in this season where honestly, we just need to say, for your glory alone. And that's it. He's looking for people who will empty themselves of their reputations and their egos and say, will you empty yourself for my kingdom? Will you do that? And will you even do that when things look bleak? When the promise that you got was there and now it's not, and now all you see is barrenness. See, he gives us revelation. He gives us revelation of who we are and what we're here to do. And he gives us revelation of himself. But in that is also a mystery because sometimes there's barren seasons. And I want to speak to anyone who's in a barren season right now. Because those two things form a perfect cross. And it's a cross of surrender. Jesus gets to be king. Well, because he's a part of the Trinity, and that's a really big deal, okay? But he also gets to be king because his business was always about bringing glory to the Father. He literally said, not my will, but yours be done. And a lot of times, and if I could be truly honest, many times I say it with my lips, but my heart is not saying it. I remember I have a son. I have an almost 11-year-old. He's 11 next week, and an almost 7-year-old, and they're both crazy. In fact, the last time I came here, I brought my little one, and he's a tornado too. So I didn't bring him this time. Honestly, my boys are very active, but my oldest struggles with mental health. He's on the spectrum. He has Asperger's, which is a form of autism, which makes him so funky and awesome. I love it. He's quirky, just like his mom. He also has ADHD, but so do I, and so does half of you. He also has something called oppositional defiance disorder, which I personally don't believe in. I work with a lot of youth at risk, and they just don't feel understood. As soon as you sit down and connect with them, that just seems to disappear for some reason. Isn't that right? Yeah. And then he also has struggled with anxiety and depression. And I remember a couple years ago, at 8 years old, he wanted to kill me and kill himself. So we took him to the children's hospital, and there he spent 3 weeks. And I remember the psychologist asked us, so what do you do when your son is throwing like fits of rage, you know, like, you know, he used to swear. Actually, he still swears. My children swear. can I say that out loud? Okay. Now we're working on it. They've had a very broken life. And they're from a good home. My husband and I have been married for 18 years. Please do not judge us. I used to, when I was working with youth at risk, I would like look at kids like my kids and go, oh, they must be from a horrible family. Well, I don't say that anymore because you never know. We're good people and we love Jesus. But she asked me, so what do you do when he's doing that? And I said, well, I send him to his room. And I'm thinking, I'm just this good mom, right? She goes, oh, no, you never send the hurting away from you. You bring them closer. And so for the last, 8, 9, 10, 11, 3 years, that's been my parenting journey, is coming alongside both my boys when they're throwing fits of rage or whenever they show any extreme emotion. I come alongside them and I say, nothing will break my connection with you right now. Inside, I'm going, oh, I want to leave right now, you know, or if I could just like smack you, you know, I don't know. Did I say that out loud? Do you feel me? I do not hurt my children. Do not hear what I'm not saying. But I sit with them in their mess. And I'll tell you what, God has wrecked me through this process because I think if God can redeem my broken experience with my children, here's what he's done. He's wrecked me, showing me that he does not send me to my room when I don't have it together. He brings me closer, and in his presence, he heals me in his love. And I'll tell you what, in my brokenness, there was a year where I drank myself to sleep every single night. Every night, big glass of whiskey, this big, just to knock myself out. I was still speaking places. I was still loving Jesus. I was still, you know, don't think just because someone speaks that they don't struggle. And I was always very honest about my struggles. I still am. And it's very easy to attach yourself to things that numb us. Very easy. Very easy. When you are in your desert and it looks like nothing is going to change, that's where the trauma happens. The trauma happens when you think, this will never get better. And all of a sudden, that alcohol looks okay because it's going to give you this temporal escape. And we attach to it instead of to the beloved one. We attach to that high that we get from marijuana because it's just easier. We attach to other relationships. Man, I'll tell you, there was a time when we were in the heat. I'll tell you, mental health with your children can wreck marriages. The fact that my husband and I are still together, it is a miracle. And there was one summer I came this close to having an adulterous relationship. Can I say that out loud? Yeah, hate me all you want, but here I am. I'm just laid bare. You know, Jesus knows my heart. And I'll tell you what, so easy. So easy. Easy when your promise is hidden from you and your land is barren, anything can happen. Anything. So when I hear about leaders falling, I'm like, that's easy. When I hear about people overdosing on drugs, I'm like, that's easy. I didn't have a community around me at the time. I was lost. I was broken. I had every check mark for addiction just right there for me. And I'm from a good home. God spoke to me in that season, and he had this weird grace on my life where I didn't cheat on my husband, and I didn't become an alcoholic, and I literally woke up one day, and Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, would you like to talk about your drinking problem? I'm like, I don't have a drinking problem. I speak. He's like, nice try. And he wooed me back to his heart, and it literally broke in a day. I'm very, like, it's lucky. But I'll tell you what, God just spoke to my family. Because honestly, we have literally, probably in the last a year, come out of this broken season. And God spoke to me the other week, and he said, there's been a tectonic shift in your life. A tectonic shift where I have literally changed the game for you, and now I'm calling you up. And I'm calling you to live above reproach, Connie. The things that you could get away with before, you can't get away with now. And that really spoke to me. Because sometimes we preach about holiness and walking uprightly and purity and all that. And I'll tell you what, I sat in those seats during my broken time and I just felt like, man, if I could only just get it. I know what's right. You know what's right. We, in our hearts, nobody wakes up going, I think I'll be an alcoholic today. Or I think I'll cheat on my husband today. No one does that. There's a journey that gets us there. But God's hand says, remember my love for you. Remember that I bring you close and I crown you. I don't just like bring you close. I give you a crown of my glory in that season. And I'm not condoning alcohol and I'm not condoning like just being like sleazy and whatever. And I'm not saying that everyone should always like live up here, but I'm saying that God is, he does woo us and then he calls us up. But it looks very different than like, do you know what I'm saying? Does this say enough? Awesome, because I don't know how to explain that with words. We can pound religion into people or we could get Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. There's a big difference. In the presence of the Pharisees were petrified of sin. Jesus is not afraid of sin because Jesus conquers our hearts. In our barrenness, that double portion still exists. And God, in the mystery, wants to walk with you. In the mystery of your life, not sure of what's happening right now, he wants to walk with you. And I'll tell you this, and I declare over your lives today that there are streams in the desert, that there are mountains that will fall in your life because the God you serve is strong and mighty and faithful, and he does not fail, and his kingdom only increases in your life. So there's always hope. Hope does not disappoint you. When I went through my season of brokenness, I asked God, God, what do I get out of this? Like, what's coming? Like, there must be a promise. There must be something I'm going to get. And this is what he said to me. He said, you get me. And I said, that's not good enough. That's how I knew I was living for my own at that time. That's how that just told me my heart right there. But I'll tell you something. You have to remember that your life is eternal. And some of the promises that God has given you for this earth is not for this earth. It's for this earth later. Because our destination is not heaven. Our destination is earth. And I'll tell you what. Do you know what I'm saying when I say that? I should explain that. After when the world is done, God is rebuilding earth again, and he's rebuilding, he's making a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. And guess where we're going to be? Earth with him and his kingdom. Do you think we're all just going to flutter around with little angel wings? No, there's still a kingdom to be had. There's still a kingdom that's existing. And it's going to be beautiful and pure, but some of the dreams in our hearts, you have to remember that Jesus never told us how to enter, well, he did tell us how to enter heaven, but he told us how to enter life, and life is eternal. And so some of the things that you have in your heart right now, and this is where we have to like surrender to futility, some of these things you will not see here and now. You won't, and that's okay. Because if we're living for God's glory, we're not worshiping the dream. We're worshiping the King. And we follow the King. And we build and we plant and we're faithful. And if it doesn't look the way we thought, we don't know. And I want to honor those in the room who have walked so faithful and have been like the pioneers who've just like plowed the ground, done what God said. Like you guys, plow in the ground. Here you go. Always, I look at this place and I just see this creative entrepreneurial spirit, you know, and it's beautiful. You know, like it's awesome. This is amazing, Amberly. I get excited every time I come here. Every time I walk down the street, Michael, I'm freaking out. I'm like, thank God a storefront. It is the coolest. It's amazing. I tell people about what you guys are doing all the time. Like, it's amazing. But at the same time, like, this isn't it. This is a part of it, right? And we have to constantly surrender our barrenness and our promise and our double portion. What does double portion look like for you? What is your double portion and what is your barrenness? And what's the mystery in there? Are you willing to just lay it down? It's not saying who cares, because God very much is looking for people who are plowing in the kingdom. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen who are in the room, you are worshiper warriors. You are taking back ground that has been stolen. And some of you have just forgotten that. There's some of you in the room who have forgotten that you are a warrior. There's some of you in the room, there's one person in the room that when you were young, you had a worshiper's heart, and then life just kind of has just dimmed it down. It's just like disappointment after disappointment. You're just kind of like, ah, oh, there it went. Right? God's saying, I have not forgotten. That worshiper's heart is still in there. And he's calling you back. He's calling you back. He's calling you back. He's saying, now's your time to come back to this again. There's some of you in the room that you have plowed for many years. And God's saying, please don't give up. You have no idea what you've done. You have no idea in the kingdom what you've actually sown. We have to stop measuring. You know, one of the worst things you do as a church plant is you tick off how many people got saved that year, how many people got baptized. It's like, oh, if you've had a really sucky year, it really sucks. You know? I just planted a church. That's weird. And that's kind of a battle. It's a battle being a church planter and not being consumed with what we think is the results. We have to let go of the results. Have to let go. Because then we're worshiping the program, the process, the tangible instead of the creator. So if I could sum this message up into anything, it's God's calling us back to his heart. And in his heart, the mystery, what we need in the mystery is more presence. We don't need no more figuring it out. We don't need no more strategy, because the strategy, I'll tell you what, here's what he's going to do. He's going to show up and he's going to give you the strategy and it's just going to happen. You'll be like, wow, that was easy. Not easy like as in the working of it, but it's going to be easy because you didn't have to figure it out. Some of you, you just needed to hear that the streams in the desert are there. Could you stand with me?